The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the fourth chapter of Acts, beginning with the 11th verse. Peter said, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, where were you on September 26th, 1983? September 26th, 1983. It was the day before my 33rd birthday. My wife had given me the book Poland by Michener, which I had been wanting to read. And she also made me a very fine supper of shrimp. That's what my diary tells me. Far more important things, however, happened on that day. It was towards the afternoon. Maybe people were getting off work or going in for the evening shift, going to the mall, picking their kids up from school. Maybe some were sitting down for supper or watching evening TV. Probably most of you weren't even born yet then. But across the globe, Stanislav Petrov, a Russian soldier, was monitoring the satellite system, looking for enemy nuclear attacks from America. His orders were absolutely in stone. If he detected anything that looked like an enemy invasion towards the Soviet Union, he was to press the button and launch an immediate counteroffensive. Now, it was around midnight Russian time, and all of a sudden, all the sirens started to blare. The warning lights were blinking, and all his computers were showing missiles coming in from America. His orders were clear, his instructions. He was supposed to give the command to the main computer that would begin the irreversible chain of events that would launch all of Russia's nuclear bombs on America and the NATO allies. The clock was ticking. There was the countdown. It was stood at 10, 9, 8, 7, just seconds before he was supposed to press the button. That would be the beginning of the end. But Petrov hesitated. He knew there was something that wasn't quite right. There were only 4 nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles that were coming from the America to hit Mother Russia. It made no sense. Why only 4 if the Americans were attacking? He decided not to carry out his rules, his orders, and let the countdown lapse. He was right. Later, many bugs were found in that Soviet early warning system. He was hailed that day as the man that saved the world, the man that saved humanity. In this text, we hear of another person who saved humanity on a far grander scale than the Russian Savior. It is Jesus Christ our Lord. Our whole world was hurling headlong to destruction, and nothing on earth was going to change the situation. The fiery darts and missiles of our satanic foe had destroyed God's beautiful creation and damned every one of us to hell. Our life had become an aimless mote, a downward drift, a confusing, meaningless nothing. And that chaos can still be found within us today in our old sinful flesh, because so often we do those things that we know are wrong, that we know are going to hurt ourselves and others, and we do them anyway. Often our hearts are filled with hatred, anger, covetousness, and greed, not loving God with all our heart, or our Savior, or our fellow man as ourselves. Everything looked hopeless, but God himself became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to save our lost and fallen race. He did battle with your enemies and mine, the satanic foe, throughout his life, destroying all his weapons, burying them with him in the tomb. Through his death, resurrection, he has provided, he's restored for all people the original righteousness and innocence of Adam at the creation. And by faith in him, oh, he has given us the opportunity to become the sons of God with an eternal existence, the joys of heaven. He is the real man that saved the world. Petrov saved a bunch of Americans in 1983 for a certain length of time. But Jesus has given you and me life without end, true victory, or the grave, the new creation. That's the message, the wonderful, treasured message that the students in our seminary here on this campus are being prepared to proclaim. It alone can give meaning in this life and hope for the life to come. Every one of us here know that message, that Jesus is our Savior. It's taught in our churches and in our schools. And that, yet, let me ask you, if Petrov had pressed the button that day, or make it more real for you, if the button was pressed this afternoon, where would your friends and your loved ones be? Heaven or hell? You have the message that can save their soul. Share the good news, centering in this text. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. That message is the only message that gives comfort for us today. As we sit here this morning, I'm sure that there is a variety of fears and concerns, anxieties, uncertainties that are on the mind of every one of us. Students are wondering, what's this year going to be like? Are we going to make it through it? Can we handle the grades? Can we financially do it? Professors are wondering about a variety of things, the workload, all the responsibilities, the academic things that must be done. And maybe there is even a fear in the heart of some of the older generation that there is some ugly disease growing within. And yet, we have the certainty that the gracious Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross and chose us as his own, is with us each and every step of the way. Through his means of grace, word and sacrament, he gives us the strength to continue on. Because we have a salvation in Christ far greater than that of the Russian Savior, we can be unafraid of living and unafraid of dying today. And because of that message, how important it is, I would like to encourage every young man here today to consider the preaching and teaching ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to encourage every young lady here to consider the teaching ministry, caring for the little lambs in our Christian day schools. My granddaughter started Mount Olive today, yesterday, and what a wonderful thing that she has the opportunity to hear the gospel of salvation. It's fantastic. There's no greater work because you're giving the thing that will make life meaningful. If full-time service is not possible for you right now in the Lord's kingdom, then don't think there's nothing I can do. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the Savior with all around you. Is there a need? Is there a need for the gospel? Listen to the news. Read the paper about what's going on in Mankato. All around us, there are people who can find no worthwhile meaning for life. Is there a need for pastors and teachers? Yes. Our synod would like to begin new missions, and there isn't the manpower. The gracious Lord Jesus, who gave his life for each of us, is calling for each of us to share the gospel to those going headlong to destruction. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep is calling for pastors and teachers. He's calling for you. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the master calls for you. Take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen.